Up front. So Portland City Council will come back from recess. Oh, yes. It is still Thursday, July 21st, 2011. We are about to consider a non-emergency ordinance, which is item number 769 on the council agenda. Carla, can you please read the title for item 769?
Approve the amended and restated Interstate Corridor Urban Renewal Plan to increase the plan area by 185.79 acres.
First of all, I want to thank PDC Commissioner Charles Wilhoit for his leadership on this nearly multi-year effort. Commissioner Wilhoit led the 21-member North-Northeast Citizen Advisory Committee, whose recommendations yielded the action before us for consideration today. This committee was diverse in many aspects and gave the Portland Development Commission an opportunity to reach people who do not normally come into contact with urban renewal planning and decision-making. We have an amendment to the amendment. We're considering an amendment to the Urban Renewal District. And we have a brief amendment that I'll ask the folks in front of us to detail. But the underlying amendment to the Urban Renewal District expands the Interstate URA to include properties along Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Alberta and Killingsworth Street, Deakin, the south side of Lombard Street, and the St. John's Town Center. It's important, the amendment is important, because it allows the Portland Development Commission to continue to make investments that help small businesses compete in today's economic climate, create jobs, and redevelop properties, particularly those owned by long-standing residents. This action, after nearly 3 years of community outreach and discussion, drew nearly 1,000 people in all, we'll get into the details with staff presentation. So are we going to do the video first, or are we going to do the amendment first?
We'll do the amendment first.
So this is the amendment to the Urban Renewal Area Amendment. So an amendment is in front of you, in front of City Council. It adds E to a now, therefore, the council directs. And why don't you take it from there, Mr. Rakowski?
And there are copies of the language behind that post over there by the council clerk, if anyone wants them. Keith Witkowski, Deputy Director of Portland Development Commission. So what we're adding is language, and the genesis of this was, you know, through our briefings and conversations with City Council and Commissioner Fritz, or myself and the Executive Director, talked about our approach and intention as we move forward with continuing investments in interstate and expanding those into the areas the mayor talked about. From the conversations, we really want to try and capture the true intent that hadn't really been captured anywhere. It's captured in the existing urban renewal plan, but we felt it should also be brought updated to 2011. So with that, under the now therefore section, we have added a small case letter E, and it says, over the course of implementing the amended plan in the cities of Portland's economic development strategy and neighborhood economic development strategy, PDC should focus on preserving the culture of the existing neighborhoods and, where possible, provide opportunities for long-standing property and business owners to live, work, and invest in the area as it develops and grows.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any additional council discussion on the proposed amendment? Carla, can you please call the vote on the amendment?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Mayor. This obviously is in line with the work that you and I are doing on equity, and I greatly appreciate PDC's partnership in that work. It reflects what has been the intent and what certainly has been the desire of the community. So I'm very happy to see this language added. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
I thank Commissioner Fritz for the suggestion, and it absolutely moves forward what has been the basis of almost every meeting in the past 3.5 years. So, aye. Amendment approved. I'll now turn it back to Mr. Rakowski.
Okay. So what we'll be doing is taking you through a short PowerPoint and then kind of showing a on-the-ground video of what's going on in a lot of these areas right now, because obviously a video captures it a lot better than words and paragraphs and us talking. So but before I begin, you know, I've been a part of a number of different urban renewal area, whether it's the creation or it's the expansion or it's the extension or all these other things that happen with urban renewal plans at times. And with the approach on this effort was so different from anything PDC's done that I really obviously want to thank Commissioner Will Hoyt and Morgan Masterman to my left right here, who spent a lot of time, and the entire committee. But what was different about this is Representative Lou Frederick, Sue Hagemeyer, Harold Williams, and Harold Williams too, spent well before we formed a committee many months doing interviews. Sue and Representative Frederick interviewed 46 stakeholders from February to April 2009. The Williamses interviewed and contacted over 500 people to talk about how they felt about their community, how they felt about, you know, the city and PDC, and what was important in terms of what they want to see the public and PDC do going forward to build the community. And we have not taken that type of approach before, basically doing so much work in the very beginning before we convene any groups. And so with that and after that, this 21-member committee was formed that had representatives from the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Area, the Interstate Urban Renewal Area, the school district, the county, and a lot of the folks that were contacted by both the parties that I talked about before that were interviewed. And they met, you know, I think it was 10, 11 times over the course of a year and a half during what was actually a very hot summer. And I believe there were probably 50 to 60 to 70 or more people attending every single meeting. And we were able to kind of extend the tentacles in a way we hadn't done it before. And that occurred because of the work with a lot of these like long-standing community members and people that had a history that helped us do that. And we plan on carrying that forward. And it's kind of our commitment to you and to the community as we continue to invest in this plan going forward. So what I'll walk through is kind of the basics of this amendment, and then we can get into some discussion as well. So as the mayor talked about, it's expanding the district by about 186 acres. It's bringing in areas that were on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard that were previously in the Oregon Convention Center District. And that district can't issue debt anymore after 2013. And, you know, the needs of MLK are going to extend well beyond 2013. So that was brought in because this is an urban renewal area, interstate, that has, you know, that credit card limit of $335 million. And it's spent about $100 million of that. So there's a lot of resources. There's a lot of needs. But we feel very comfortable that we can achieve both the needs of the existing district as well as the expanded areas with this $200 million. We're bringing areas along Alberta, along Killingsworth, near Deakin, the north side of Lombard, St. John's. And as you'll hear today, and you don't want to hear me talk about it, is each one of these additions came from the community. It was their requests, and it was they had interest in trying to make the community better. And so it was a very nice conversation. It was driven by someone other than the public sector, which, you know, we always think is very important. So I've already covered the slide, but the this next slide, you'll see that the members of the committee that I talked about as well. And again, you see folks from a resident of New Columbia, members from the North Portland Business Association, from the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, a lot of neighborhood leaders, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the African American Chamber of Commerce. And you see the list in front of you. This map reflects the additions. If you look, it doesn't look great on the screen. If you look at the map, basically the area in green is the Rose Quarter area, and that is staying in the Oregon Convention Center District. I think that's the most important part of the slide, other than the different colors that represent that land added. The map on the right, that's in kind of a reddish color, that's what the district will look like after the amendment is approved and takes effect. One of the other things that we've done with this action is we took out a lot of right-of-way things, you know, properties that are over the freeway. So even though we added a chunk, the bank of how much acreage is available citywide, this 15% limit that state imposed, we go from having 1,581 acres to use in other areas of the city to 1,579 acres. So we're very careful and judicious about adding properties and removing properties that, you know, are not going to be needed for urban renewal. And what it does, what matters about it, is with the mayor's initiatives about the neighborhood opportunity districts and trying to find ways to continue to use urban renewal in East Portland, it gives us the ability to do that. And this took 3 years to get this effort done, and we've already begun some of the groundwork based on the State of the City speech to be able to look at how we can get some of these smaller districts formed. I won't get into that today, but I just wanted to give you a bit of a preview. So in terms of next steps, the vote would occur next week. Today is just a public hearing and testimony, and then it becomes effective 1 month later, so August 27th. And with that, I'd like to take you on this virtual tour, and then we can answer questions, and then we also have some the invited testimony.
Expanded the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Area northward along Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Alberta Street. Urban renewal funding has helped revitalize these corridors through grants and loans to businesses, streetscape improvements, and redevelopment projects like Vanport Square and the Beach Street Office Building. However, the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Area will expire in 2013, with many projects remaining along the corridor. The North Northeast Community Advisory Committee has recommended that Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard be moved from the Oregon Convention Center URA into the Interstate Corridor URA. In addition, property and business owners just outside any urban renewal area have asked PDC about expanding the boundary to other nearby areas in need. At the north end of the corridor, the Woodlawn Triangle has seen a new wave of investment in the past few years. PDC has given a limited amount of general funds for small businesses here, including a storefront grant to the Firehouse Restaurant, a business loan to Classic Foods, and six other grants or loans. But nestled among these new investments are additional opportunities and challenges. Local developers have plans for some of the vacant buildings and lots in the Woodlawn Triangle, but they don't have the financing to build them. Northeast Killingsworth Street, between 14th and 17th Avenues, was once the hub of the Vernon neighborhood. However, today, most of the buildings here remain vacant or in disrepair. Several property owners have approached PDC about expanding the urban renewal area here. Three blocks south of Killingsworth is Alberta Street. Storefront improvements have spruced up buildings, and entrepreneurs have redeveloped vacant land and buildings into restaurants, coffee shops, galleries, and other popular businesses. But the successes along Alberta are only one side of the story. The character of new development along Alberta has not always matched the demographics of the neighborhood, and some longtime residents feel left out of the picture. Additionally, there are still quite a few vacant buildings along the street. Expanding urban renewal along Alberta speaks to a neighborhood desire to have more equitable opportunities. Starting at Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, the expansion area fills gaps and extends the urban renewal area east to Northeast 31st Avenue. Just like Alberta Street, some properties along the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard corridor were left out of an urban renewal area. Gaps remain, and properties here do not have the same access to funds for business loans, storefront grants, and redevelopment funds as other areas just across the street. The expansion area here fills those gaps and also extends westward along Knott Street. When the City of Portland adopted the Interstate Corridor Urban Renewal Area in 2000, areas north of Lombard Street were included, while areas south were not. As a result, businesses and property owners on the south side of Lombard can't access TIF funds for grants and loans for building improvements, business expansion, and redevelopment. The Community Advisory Committee has repeatedly heard from business owners and residents that there is demand for these products. In addition to business development, the surrounding neighborhoods have also been hoping for streetscape improvements to make Lombard safer and more pleasant for pedestrians. It's one of the key recommendations of the St. John's Lombard Neighborhood Plan. Urban renewal is often a good way to help pay for infrastructure projects like this, but it's not possible when only half of the street is eligible. West of Lombard is St. John's. Originally a separate city until 1915, St. John's retains its small-town feel with an eclectic collection of businesses. Demand for PDC's grants and loans has been very strong in St. John's, but urban renewal is not available here, so PDC can only channel a small amount of general funds and federal funds when they are available. Many opportunities remain, from empty storefronts to vacant lots. At the east end of the town center, entire blocks are vacant. Today, these vacant lots, with their billboards, weeds, and abandoned buildings, serve as an unfortunate gateway to the St. John's Town Center, something residents and business owners would like to change. During the Community Advisory Committee process, Portland Public Schools asked that the nearby Roosevelt High School be added to the expansion area. Urban Renewal could help fund potential safety improvements and other public uses of this facility. All of these areas were recommended by the Community Advisory Committee to be included in the Interstate Corridor URA. The amendments before you implement these recommendations.
That was very helpful. Thanks.
Sure. So I think what the logical next step would be to have our invited testimony, and then, you know, we can take questions and things like that in the course of.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Given that there's elected official here, I think it would be Representative Frederick and then Sue Hagemeyer, and then we have the other people.
So welcome, Representative Ms. Hagemeyer. Representative Fredericks, courtesies of the House.
I haven't heard that for a few days.
Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. I'm Lou Frederick. With me is Sue Hagemeyer. We're partners in Northwest Ideas, the firm that conducted the stakeholder interviews for the North-Northeast study and produced the report that's part of the record of this process. I'm pretty sure all of you have received it in the past, but if you'd like a paper copy of the report, I brought several along. Have you? Do you want? Do you need it?
We got it.
You got it. Cool.
Yep.
We were asked to conduct interviews, not a survey or a poll, but interviews. We interviewed 46 people in 39 interviews and documented and summarized what we heard.
The keys to this methodology include questions designed to trigger both interaction with information about the study and also cause hopeful discussion about the future. While we expected to hear a lot about the past, and we did, we wanted to move people to focus on what it all means to our hopes for our city. Sufficient time devoted to each interview so that the interview ended with a sense that what needed to be said was said. This meant time for clarifying questions both directions and also the opportunity to call us later, which several people did. Meeting people where they were, going to homes and places of business and coffee shops and restaurants on a schedule that worked for the interviewees. Sometimes that meant getting up very early, adjusting our schedule to the needs of business people and parents, for example. Taking extensive notes and consulting and comparing our notes after the interviews, and then finally organizing and summarizing what we learned from the interviews. As you can read in the report, common themes emerged, and where they did not, that fact is included in the report as well. It was important not to just do the interviews, but to tell the story of the project.
Now, the most productive question we asked was the following. Imagine it's 2014, that's 5 years out from the time of the interviews, and PDC has invested heavily in North and Northeast Portland for several years. In your view, the result has been very positive. As you walk, drive, or bike through the neighborhoods, what do you see? Now, I invite you as a council to think about the future that way as well. As you can imagine, these discussions were rich, imaginative, and heartfelt. What our respondents described was seeing all ages out and about, an environment in which people interact socially and commercially year-round, where the things people need are easy to reach, and where there are employment, business, and professional opportunities that lead to good family incomes, where people feel and are safe, where the surroundings are attractive. We also found a lot of consensus regarding how PDC, the city, and the city government should conduct itself and how it should not. Adverse impacts are lasting, both in concrete effects and in family and neighborhood lore. People who invest their time and energy in advisory committees often end up feeling used. When decisions are reversed for any reason, it appears from the outside to be part of a grand manipulation in which the earlier decision was only a diversion. It was abundantly clear that our respondents view the PDC and the city government to be of a piece. And particularly, they blame the entire system when things do not go well, no matter who made the decisions.
Here's what the citizens we talked with are looking for from the PDC and from anyone else associated with city government. Authenticity. When they give their advice, they expect to see some evidence that their involvement made a difference. Respect. While we talked with people from many occupations and many levels of prior involvement, a common element is that they are as civic-minded as anybody, and they spoke to the issues with sophistication and depth. And integrity. They expect promises to be kept. And there's... Go ahead.
That's all right. There's more. They want the benefit of public investment to penetrate all parts of the local economy. They want decisions to be based on the best available evidence. They want a level playing field, and they see a role for PDC in helping the little guy. They are frustrated, actually no, really jaded, by public involvement models that have been overused and, in the view of many in the community, produce inaccurate or invalid pictures of public opinion. Now, the advisory process that followed represented the best practice suggested by what we gleaned from these interviews. It provided time for diverse stakeholders to process complex information, and even more important, to understand each other. Authentic communication at its best is a negotiation process in which people come to understand each other over time. Public meetings rarely achieve that level of interaction, and this process actually did. We cannot overstate how much more meaningful this consensus is as compared to a one-off meeting with forced timelines and limited topics.
We also had an opportunity since this report to do another one in which we analyzed the Urban League's State of Black Oregon report and current PDC programs and budget to produce policy recommendations that align the two. The important thing we took out of that project is that while urban renewal is focused on improving the physical environment, the purpose is to help people. Most importantly, the purpose is to help those people who have borne the burdens of deficiencies in the physical environment, not to clean it up and improve it for someone else. The Urban League's report talks about cumulative causation. We have to recognize that prosperity is cumulative. Many of the businesses that dominate certain fields in our community got their start in a very different competitive environment from what we see today, one in which the ladder of growth and capacity building was wide open ahead of them. Minority businesses are not looking to leap to the top of that ladder, but they want access to the rungs and the opportunity to climb.
The economic needs of this community are often described with one word, jobs. But jobs does not describe an economy. We need business and professional opportunities that increase capacity and economic activity at the neighborhood level. That's how we increase employment and the quality of employment. Now, I've got to tell you, the problem is that we could talk for a long time about these reports. We'll stop now, however. If you have questions, we can try to answer those. We can clear out for the next presenters. But I will say this as well. One of the things we got a chance to do was talk with people individually at length. And what they got a chance to do in the committee meetings and in the process and the things you saw in terms of the video was they got a chance to talk with each other individually and at length. It made a huge difference. And so we got a really good process and we got a lot of good product out of this particular, this whole effort. So I feel really good to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you for being part of a new approach and an innovative approach to help start a process that began with a lot of listening. I think that was, I think we will do this again.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now have, we have five folks invited to come testify, Mr. Roy Jate of the African American Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Clinton Doxey of the St. John's Neighborhood Association, Mr. Harold Williams Sr., and Harold Williams II will be in the next. Oh, your team? Okay. Well, then, Clinton, you'll be in the next round. Welcome.
Twice in 2 days.
We are blessed.
I could get used to this. No, not really. Okay. Mayor, commissioners, thank you for this time. I just came in to support what you've already heard. I was one of the people that sat on this advisory committee along with a lot of other business people, colleagues, and consultants for months and months and months in the evening. It was a long task. It was very educational. Not everybody got what they wanted, but we knew that we had to move forward for the betterment of the entire neighborhood, the communities. One of the things I think we've constantly stressed from my standpoint, is making sure that we do not forget about the residents that have been there the longest, and they need to benefit, you know, the growth and urban renewal and new businesses and things of that nature. But we've had people that have been there since the 30s and 40s, and it's their time to also be able to flourish. It was a pleasure to sit on the committee. I hope that you don't have anybody coming to really oppose this. I mean, this is about the growth of our city, and this is what we're about. And you've had some great consultants that have worked with you. And I'm just pleased to have been a part of this, even though it kept us into the many long, long hours of the night. But we are for now at this point. So, again, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your service. Okay. Appreciate it. Mr. Williams.
Mayor Adams, commissioners, my name is Harold Williams. My son, Harold Williams, too. We're with CH2A and Associates. We had the honor of interviewing nearly 500 people, over 580 face-to-face interviews. In the process, what we found is that people really want to be a part of the mainstream, and people, particularly people of color. Let me give you a feel of something that just happened recently. The Miracles Club, it was really a miracle, because people look at it as something that this city did in a positive way, that is inclusive of African Americans, those who are disenfranchised. And now a real building, not a shack, but a real building that gives humanity to people who have been disenfranchised. This is what PDC has been doing over the last 6 years, bringing those who've been disenfranchised back into the mainstream. One of the things that of many that we've had to do was educate people to the process. You have to know how to function. When we talk about gentrification, we had to go in and have some hard knock conversations with folks. If you don't own the land, it is not gentrification. But if you own the land and don't have an opportunity to expand, then it is gentrification. And made that distinction, because you've lived there and didn't own it, you don't have any say-so. And the issue, that seems hard knocks, but we have to be realistic and where we're trying to go. And those senior citizens who've been there 50 years plus, and now I'm one of them, I can tell you that there's a lot of changes. I remember when Williams Avenue and Russell looked like Hawthorne. Now it's vacant lots that is controlled by Emmanuel Hospital. We are saying, why can't the economic development go into that area, bring new housing, new businesses? What Commissioner Wilhart of the Portland Development Commission orchestrated was getting those people the voice. Many citizens who wanted their housing, they were losing their property because they couldn't get their porch fixed. They couldn't get their roof fixed. Now PDC with housing division is moving in a positive direction to make sure they're inclusive. In that process, you have people who feel that they have a trust account. And those who are in control of the trust account is PDC and you. You are the brain trust, the heart and dreams of people who've been left out. We want you to pass this issue so we can bring everybody back in. Many people who are in their 80s now are believing, before they go into the other land, that things will happen for their children and grandchildren. What you showed just the last week, that a miracle can happen. Now a broader miracle will happen with you allowing this to pass. In that process, no one will be left out. And the issue here is one of the whitest cities in America can send a real message to the world. We might be white, but we understand the unification of all people. See what we've done. And nobody else is doing the kind of things that we're proposing today. If you pass this, we're a step ahead of everybody in this country. We have Roy J., me, Harold, too. We little bitty people. And we come really hard and fast to the issue. I'm very serious. I'm 68 years old. I don't have any time to waste. And when I bring my heart and soul to you and say that the people are serious, We don't want crumbs, kibbles, and bits anymore, and that's what's been given to us in the past. We want a real piece of the pie. And what you did in the study was show that we can be a part of it. We thank you, Mayor Adams. We thank you, the commissioners. And again, all of you, please understand that you are the heartbeat of the future. If you don't push it, it won't happen. If you wait, it won't happen. Now these seniors can know their porch will be fixed, small business will a benefit, and little people like me can sit on the sideline and know that good things can happen. Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Williams Sr., thank you. Thank you not only for your work on this issue, but your work with Portland Community College Foundation and a whole variety of other efforts in the North Northeast area and citywide. We're grateful.
Thank you. Commissioners, Mayor, my name is Harold Cleophas Williams, II with CH2 and Associates. And basically, I'm just here to say that the time is now. People are ready to get this thing going. If this is the thing that gets us back in the right direction and get everything back on track, let's get it done. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Mr. Clinton Doxey, St. John's Neighborhood Association, Ms. Adrian Livingston, Black United Fund, Mr. Jonathan Colon, Hispanic Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce. Welcome. Clinton, would you like to begin?
Yes. I've just submitted a letter as part of my testimony as well, and I'll go ahead and read it for you, Mayor, and the commissioners as well. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for having me here. The letter that I've submitted is in support of the Interstate Corridor Urban Renewal Area into the St. John's neighborhood. Our community outlined its vision for development in the St. John's Lombard Plan in 2004, and this plan is still being supported by the community, even though many of the envisioned improvements are unfunded and unfulfilled currently. We specifically welcome PDC's expertise and urban renewal funding to help with certain things, including gateway streetscape features, improvements to traffic flow and pedestrian safety, development of key commercial opportunity sites, and support to our existing businesses to improve and expand. The St. John's Commercial District is in need of improvements. We are on the brink of reaching a critical mass of activity to make our Main Street a destination. The strategic use of urban renewal resources and a few catalytic improvements could push the market in St. John's and encourage private sector development. Recent efforts in our community are helping us develop unprecedented relationships between community residents and business and property owners to push and achieve a shared vision of St. John's. The St. John's Neighborhood Association, Friends of Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association, St. John's Business Boosters, and North Portland Business Association are all committed to working together to realize these improvements. However, we need the public sector investment that urban renewal brings to help us achieve these goals. We're enthusiastic about the opportunity to work with PDC on key components of the Neighborhood Economic Development Strategy, particularly those that improve equity and opportunity for the full diversity of the peninsula residents and business owners. We are aware that even an expanded urban renewal area will have limited resources to bring to the communities in North and Northeast Portland, but we look forward to working with our neighbors across the area to prioritize projects that will improve the community and the business opportunities for everyone. We're confident that the St. John's participation in the URA will lead to a more complete mix of community-scale businesses and support the economic vitality of the multiple commercial centers currently in the urban renewal area. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your service. Hi, welcome.
Welcome. Mayor Adams, commissioners, thank you for having me. Adrian Livingston with the Black United Fund of Oregon, and I represent a business on Northeast Alberta. We've been there since 1999. Before then, we were in a house on 18th and Killingsworth, so we've seen the community change around us. I'm actually from the community. I was raised right on 15th off Killingsworth, so I know the community, definitely. I have to say we represent an organization that has 6,000 square feet of space to renovate. To renovate to actually help bring other nonprofits on Alberta that can't afford the market rate on Alberta. We currently in the space that we are in, about 3,000 square feet, we've rented space to Alberta Main Street. We've leased and rented space to Micro Enterprise Services of Oregon and Josiah Hill Clinic. What I am saying is we really are left out of the current renewal area, so we can't even participate in any of the PDC programs that there are there. What we have is an opportunity to create space to bring others on Alberta that would not otherwise be able to be there and be able to participate in how the community has changed. I really, and we as the board of the Black United Fund of Oregon, envision a strong Black United Fund of Oregon and a strong ethnic presence on Alberta 28th. On the last Alberta, you know, the last Thursdays on Alberta, I have to say, that doesn't necessarily represent the community that is there. I see it. Again, we've been there since 1999 when it even first began, so we've seen the transition. We want to be a part of that transition. We want to be a part and feel a part of the community. And so I'm would ask that you support what the community, both individuals, businesses, nonprofits, are asking you to support in this renewal area. We would be able to then participate in the programs that PDC has to offer. So you're speaking, and I'm speaking as an entity that would directly benefit from these services.
Thank you, Ms. Livingston.
Ms. Livingston, just to clarify, that's the Black United Fund's property, and
correct,
that it's not included in the current. That's one of the
correct
reasons for having Alberta in, even though the Northwest Ideas said that many people thought it didn't need it. But
correct,
it's
and that's
spotty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you
yes,
very much. I appreciate
correct
you coming to explain
thank you
that.
Thank you.
Mr. Cologne.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jonathan Cologne. I'm one of the business development coordinators for the Hispanic Chamber. Our testimony today is in support of the expansion. We're extremely excited about the process that PDC conducted for quite some length, as Roy mentioned. But it was very inclusive. It was multi-generational. It was respectful. PDC staff was able to respond to the questions of the community in a both timely and an efficient way. And I think we left there knowing that something was going to happen and that something will happen. Our testimony today reflects 9 years of working in the community around urban renewal districts without having any tools to support Latino businesses that were outside that. Across the street from the United Black United Fund is La Bonita, a business that's well known in town, and we've worked with that. We actually lend them money from our microloan fund to do some storefront improvement that only got paint because that's as much as we could get them. And we have many businesses like that. St. John's is another area where we've worked for many years and we've not been able to get the same resources that we have been able to get to Latino-owned businesses on Vanport Square, for example. So we're very, very excited about the expansion, but we're also very excited about the process that was used to make that determination. We're also super, super excited that you actually landed three Main Street projects in those expansion areas. So you actually have city money providing direct technical assistance, something that has never happened in the city. And if this is passed as it is, you're actually going to have a bigger impact with catalysts, hand-on, outside city employees working on those neighborhood at the neighborhood level. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to also take this opportunity to thank Adrienne Livingston for her service on the Children's Levy Allocation Committee. She is appointed by the county. She represents the citizens of Multnomah County and does a great job.
Thank
you, Adrienne.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
How many people have signed up?
We have 12 people signed up.
Okay.
And first three, please come on up, are Michael Zokojic, Stephen Yett, and Jason Barnstead Long.
So we'd ask that you limit your testimony to 2 minutes. If you prepared for three, we'll give you three, but we also have a time certain in 20 minutes. Sir.
Hello, my name is Michael Zokojic. I've been a Portland area businessman for 35 years, and I've been on the CEIC as a director for 3 years, and I'm on the APNBA for 5 years. I also am a real estate broker in the North Northeast area. And my testimony today is not to throw water on the North Northeast expansion, but to bring to your attention the need for an expansion of these micro urban renewal areas into the Cully area. And the Cully is a particularly blighted area and really needs some attention. And if there is any way that we can draw some attention to the Cully area and get it included into these studies and as a satellite type micro expansion area, we'd sure like you to take a look at this and help us with that type of an expansion.
Thank you very much. It actually is one of those that is eligible and one that I have will be proposing to the City Council. And in addition to that, we're also looking at fixing some of the zoning issues as well. So your comments are spot on. Thank you. Sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Stephen Yett.
Mr. Yett.
And as a citizen of one of the newer acquisitions made by the City of Portland on the east side, I would like to give the mayor kudos for embarking on the budget mapping program. Mm-hmm. I think this is a bold and brave move on your part. Bold because it's never been done in my recollection, and brave because I know the findings are not going to sit well with everyone in the power centers of Portland. But I believe that overall this will be a real good planning tool for the City of Portland in the future. The overall health of a city is really a combination of the overall health of its neighborhoods. And here's where the city can play a very important part. Now, I'm not talking about these sweeping strategic investments. What I'm talking about is smaller tactical investments made by transportation, urban renewal, and the PDC. These smaller investments can be a real seed to bring in other private investment money into an area which needs some elevation. And I would hope that the city continues with this budget planning, and I think it's going to be something that's something to look back on and say, you know, that was a great move. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Yett. Appreciate it. Sir.
Well, good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Council members. Over the last 5 years, I was employed with the Native American Youth and Family Center as a community planning specialist and also involved with and continue to be involved with a number of other geographically and non-geographically based community organizations in Portland. During that time, I repeatedly saw and heard in detail of the immense need for dramatically increased investment by the City of Portland in low-income and blighted areas throughout East and Outer Northeast Portland. While I give kudos to the city and involved organizations for some of the results from the Interstate Corridor URA and other community redevelopment efforts, a greater percentage of these investments need to be and continue to be in these East and Outer Northeast Portland fringe areas. Especially as growing numbers of low-income minority families have been and continue to be, as you know, dislocated into these areas by earlier well-meaning yet still gentrifying inner city attempts at redevelopment, the City of Portland needs to take a major step up in supporting existing community retention-focused development in the East and Outer Northeast areas. With the comparatively great percentage of deficiency of sidewalks and paved streets in the East and Outer Northeast areas, the need and desire for significantly more local employment opportunities and community services in these locations, and the city's drive for equity and equitable development, there's much that we can and should do together. Through programs such as Hacienda CDC's microenterprise development and their Mercado Public Market project, and through partnering with collaboratives like the High Road Alliance, who are working for community engagement and community-driven economic development, Portland can make that major step. Organizations and collaboratives like Hacienda and the High Road Alliance are respected and trusted by their communities. They can leverage valuable experience, resources, and relationships, and they are committed to triple bottom line economic development. With increased and continued involvement by such organizations and collaboratives in historically underinvested areas such as East and Outer Northeast Portland, the city has a great chance to come even closer to becoming the truly equitable city and community it strives to be. Again, thank you for many of the results from the Interstate Corridor Urban Rural Area and other redevelopment efforts. And thank you for working to correct issues that have come up during these efforts. But please remember to distribute your efforts throughout our city equitably and in all the locations to listen to the people in those communities and direct your efforts to their needs. The results will be better for all of us. Thank you for your time and your efforts.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. The next three
are Mrs. Ann Miller, Kurt Schneider, and Richard L. Meyer.
Ms. Miller, would you like to begin?
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor. This is my inaugural visit to City Hall, first time ever.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Hello, Commissioner.
You don't always get to have music in the background.
So. Okay. Well, I believe I'm a little bit, I think my information is a little bit off, so I'd like some clarification for me. And my show and tell was an old picture, my 21,000 friends. Sorry. If you would like to see that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to know how the Coliseum section is affected by this or not. Okay. So I'd just like to say thank you, and I appreciate everything everyone's going through. For interviews, finally, it sounds like someone's listening to you. I've been through these types of things before. And my family has dedicated over 50 years of commitment to doing business in Portland. And we're just grateful that the Coliseum is there. It's our favorite building, favorite place to go. And my mother's 90. She said today that's her favorite event to go to is something at the Coliseum. So I would just like say thank you, and how can I get better connected to different events here?
Okay, well, we're really glad that you're here and that you've taken the time for you and your mom.
Yeah.
The council, for the first time since the question was put on the table after the construction of the Rose Garden Arena, this council affirmatively voted to keep the Coliseum and to consider making the necessary changes for its upgrade. But that's a separate issue unrelated from today's actions.
Thank you, because I've been said it had been moved over to today. But
we'll keep you, we've got your information. We'll make sure that you stay informed.
Thank you very much.
And if you'd like to stop by my office, they could happily connect you with some of those things. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Ehrenmeyer.
I think he's first.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Mayor, members of the council, thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'm Kurt Schneider, this time appearing as the president of St. John's Boosters. Thank you.
Okay, great.
And two things quickly. Amend this. It's been 2.5 years since some members of our community asked PDC to come and make presentations. And We thank PDC for recommending this amendment. The second point is a major part of the St. John's Lombard plan is mixed use. And it is my understanding that when you created the Bureau of Housing, that you put there's a concern on my part and our part that commercial and housing are separated in a mixed-use development in terms of who administers both. Somehow we'd like it where those are in one process, or somehow you pass a rule so that you don't have two groups going at one another. Not that they will, but make the process smoother. I hope I made myself clear there, but
yeah, what I hear you saying is that now that we have a separate Bureau for Housing and a separate Bureau for Economic Development and Business Assistance, you want to make sure that they work together in an integrated fashion to the benefit of the neighborhood.
Couldn't said it better. I wish you would have said that instead of me. Thank you.
And I will see you, you have our commitment to do that, and I will see you a week from Sunday for the depavement work on the school site.
Great. I'll see you there at 9 a.m.
Well, somewhere around 9-ish.
Yeah, well, I can be there until 10 or so. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. President. Mr. Ellmeyer.
My name is Richard Ellmeyer. On June 23rd, three concerned North Portland business owners, including the chair of the North Portland Business Association, toured a building that has been vacant for 5 years at 7825 North Lombard. PDC and all three economic development staffers in the mayor's office were invited to explore the economic development potential of this 21,000 square foot building. Neither PDC nor the mayor's staff appeared at the tour, nor did they have the courtesy to respond. There is a considerable disconnect between a proposal to extend the urban renewal area into St. John's and the refusal of PDC and the city's economic development team to be involved in a legitimate economic development project in St. John's. As the elected officials that supervise these staff persons, would you please explain to those of us who gave our unpaid time to improve the economic development conditions in our neighborhood why your paid staffs have ignored our request for help, and how you intend to correct this display of disrespect for North Portland's citizen economic development efforts. PDC arbitrarily discriminates against low carbon footprint home businesses like mine located in the ICARA for solar voltaic grants. Apparently, the energy savings from a $100 electric bill reduction on a home business solar voltaic roof doesn't count the same to PGE as a $100 electric bill reduction on a non-home business solar voltaic installation. I asked the PDC to tell me where and how much of the ICARA money was invested in the Portsmouth neighborhood, including Columbia Villa, and how much of an increase in Portsmouth property values can be attributed directly to that investment. They refused. It is my speculative contention that the $7 million or so that was spent in the Portsmouth neighborhood does not now, nor will it in the future, nor was it ever really intended to meet the stated public goals of urban renewal payback. My speculation now raises to the level of unchallenged fact. Most, if not all, of PDC money in the Portsmouth neighborhood was spent building Oregon's largest public housing compound, which requires 4 full-time, uniformed, armed Portland police officers to keep the peace. This is a failed attempt at social engineering, not economic development. A request from me and ICARAC to stop further PDC funds for more public housing in the Portsmouth neighborhood was ignored by PDC and the City Council. The discredited and abhorrent city policy of unlimited neighborhood concentration of public housing works against the goals of urban renewal for businesses and economic development that is supposed to pay for itself in Portsmouth and St. John's. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you both. Thank you very much.
How many more do we have?
Seven more.
Seven more?
Yeah. The next three are Nathaniel Booker, Katie Booker, and Chris Lopez.
Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon.
It's the same day. Yeah.
Ms. Booker, would you like to begin?
Yes, in fact, I would. Thank you for allowing us to speak today. First of all, I was raised in that area, but all over Portland, I mean, for over, well, close to 60 years. And I've seen quite a few changes, and some very positive, some not so positive. One of the things that I've noticed, and mainly my focus is on Alberta Street. One of the main focuses is that I see so many, quite a few vacant lots. I see so many different things that are happening, yet there should be some consistency and some value, more value placed on that. It's an exciting street. I can see things that are growing and things that are lending itself to developing and so forth. As far as diversity is concerned, one of the things that I have seen a change, and some people call it gentrification, but what I call it is that we're in a process of change. But we want to keep that change diverse instead of having just one, for example, just white Americans, but black, white, Chinese, whatever. And also keeping things green, because I remember things been very organized and very green. So if we could keep that, and also the artist and that creativity. So I know that that can happen, and I'm looking forward to seeing that happen for my children and my grandchildren. And basically, just to keep the value going and to keep that extending and expanding and developing and progressing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Booker. Mr. Booker?
Hello. First of all, I'd like to say hello to and thank Mr. Green from PDC, Roy J., Harold Williams, Lou Frederick. It's quite a few faces that I do recognize, and within the last year I've come in contact with. I'm the owner of No Limit Stickers, located on 17th in Alberta, and I'm also part of the Alberta Main Street Organizational Commission. And what I would like to do is I would like to work with the PDC in improving the area equally. I've learned a lot since, like my mom has said, I learned a lot since I've been here working within the business area in Alberta. My grandfather had a business on Alberta since 1982. And I would like for him to see some changes and improvement where it's all-inclusive. Other than that, thank you for having me speak.
Thank you, Mr. Booker. Appreciate your testimony. Sir?
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Chris Lopez. I'm the President of the Board of Directors of Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, and I'm here to deliver a statement on behalf of our Community Economic Development Council, which is tracking the ICARA issue. The Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods is dedicated to highly inclusive civic engagement in its 12 neighborhoods in Inner North and Northeast Portland. As you know, we have carefully followed and contributed to last year's deliberations about the potential expansion of the Interstate Corridor Urban Renewal Area boundaries, and we sponsored a number of community forums on the expansion and related issues. During the forums and other community conversations about ICARA and possible expansion, we heard a wide variety of viewpoints. Some community members believe that ICARA should concentrate on meeting its original goals before expanding, and others would like to see expansion into more neighborhoods to see increased investment in these areas. However, there are several clear points that emerge from our information gathering efforts. We respectfully submit these to be included in the final decision-making on the ICARA boundaries. First of all, the urban renewal areas and the associated dollars should be used for projects that will provide clear benefits to community members. There is a common feeling that the first decade of ICARA did not provide enough benefits to existing community members, and in fact contributed to the displacement of some of the very residents that ICARA was originally intended to assist. Community priorities, including benefits to longtime residents, affordable housing and creation of jobs, accessible neighborhood residents. Benefits should be for and supported by the local community. Community priorities must be part of the criteria for choosing projects. And lastly, more clearly quantifiable goal and assessment data is critical to measuring the successes and shortfalls of an urban renewal area. We continue to recommend a comprehensive approach and analysis to better understand what has been accomplished and what lessons we can learn and what can be improved in this next phase of the URA. And importantly, all data must be easily accessible and understandable to all community members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three are Stephen Gilliam, Thomas J. Wright, and Tamara DeRitter.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for waiting. Would you like to begin?
Sure. Hi, I'm Stephen Gilliam. I'm a community activist. I represent myself, though, with these comments. I hear a lot of talk about righting the wrongs of the past and equality and inclusion rather than exclusion with the expansion of the interstate renewal area. And I understand the appeal of these arguments. Residents of this area have been underserved. They feel like they've missed out on investment dollars, and they would like their piece of the pie. But I think we have to realize that members of the community that are in this room, for the large part, are still part of the elite. They're not the underserved. They're a member of the underserved community, but we're elite if we're business owners, if we're property owners, if we have an interest in renovating our property. We take, as the PDC, you all take, as the PDC, hundreds of millions of dollars over decades away from education, health, and public safety that's going to protect all residents. And with the help of five people who you appoint and who are usually members of the construction or real estate industry, decide how these dollars are going to be spent. That extra layer of bureaucracy